15, Matthew chapter 15. We are going to be looking at verses 21 through 28 in our Pew Bibles. That's on page 1494. Page 1494. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Hear the word of the Lord. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Thanks be to God for his word. We are continuing our series, Conversations with Jesus. Although 2,000 years have passed since Jesus walked on the earth, his words remain incredibly relevant. We struggle with the same problems as the characters in the stories we study. Like Nicodemus, we struggle with limited vision. Like Salome and her two sons, we struggle with unhealthy ambitions. Like the teachers of the law and Pharisees, we struggle with religious hypocrisy. Like the adulterous woman, we struggle with guilt and shame. In our story this morning, Jesus teaches us how to deal with broken dreams. And this beautiful encounter is viewed in its context from beginning to end, it is evident that Jesus wants to strengthen the woman's faith. The conversation between the Canaanite woman and Jesus ends with Jesus telling this woman, "You have great faith." And we can just see the stages, how her faith develops to be a great faith. God has two primary means for faith building: the Bible and tests. The Bible tells us what to believe about God, and tests place us in situations that stretch us to believe and rely on God instead of our own understanding. Now, please note that before this Canaanite woman received the great faith award from Jesus, there are three tests she must pass. The test of a hopeless situation, the test of first impressions, and the test of perseverance. Now let's see these three tests one at a time. The first test that she has to pass is the test of hopeless situation. In verse 22 we read, "A Canaanite woman came to Jesus, crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly.'" Faith almost always starts with a crisis. Every parent has dreams for their children. As they hold their newborn infant in their arms, they likely envision their son or daughter as a healthy, intelligent, and mature adult with a great job and beautiful family of their own. But as they grow, many of the hopeful dreams parents cherished will be dashed to pieces. It could happen as a result of some bad decision on their own. Or it may happen as a result of something beyond anyone's control. And it seems that the latter was the case over here. Now, this woman's daughter was demon-possessed. Possessions by evil spirits sometimes results in physical disability. But most often, the person possessed experiences extreme mental torment. And evidently, this woman's daughter suffered terribly, extreme mental torment. And no one could help her, and she could not help herself. Humanly speaking, this woman's daughter was a hopeless case. In such a situation, desperate people take desperate steps. The actions of this woman in verse 22 emphasize another important lesson about faith. And the lesson is this. The life of faith is inherently a life of risk. Let's think about it for a moment. The life of faith is inherently a life of risk. Now, think about the barriers this woman had to overcome to approach Jesus. The first barrier was the attitude barrier. Notice that this mother approaches Jesus alone. Keep in mind that she lives in a society where men did not respond to women in public. For this reason, you will always see that it was the man or the father who came to ask for the healing of the child. Matthew chapter 17. It was the father who asked for the healing of his epileptic boy. Luke chapter 8. It was Jairus, a synagogue leader, who asked for the healing of his dying daughter. John chapter 4. It was a certain Roman official who asked for the healing of his dying son. Luke chapter 7. It was the Roman centurion who asked for the healing of his beloved servant. It was always the man or the father who came to ask for the healing of their child. Now, this mother approaches Jesus alone. Now, perhaps her husband was dead or no longer connected to the family. On the other hand, maybe her husband was not willing to seek help from Jesus. Maybe he laughed at her when she shared her suggestion. Maybe he even forbidden her to go and seek help from Jesus. This woman lived in a male-dominated society. So it would be very discouraging if her husband was not willing to do something regarding their family problems. Whether she was a single mother or lived with a husband who did not seriously respond to her father, to her daughter's problem, this woman took a risk. She heard of Jesus, and she came to him in faith. When your situation seems hopeless, Jesus is a good risk. Amen? When your situation seems hopeless, Jesus is a good risk. So the first barrier this woman needed to overcome was the attitude barrier. Now, the second barrier was her race. This mother was a Canaanite, a member of a such sinful race that centuries earlier, God commanded the military leader Joshua to exterminate the whole race. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, this is what we read. Moses gathered Joshua and all the Israel and said, completely destroy Canaanites as the Lord your God has commanded you. Otherwise, they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshiping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God. He said, completely destroy Canaanites as the Lord your God has commanded you. But not all of them were killed. Some of them survived, and they continued to live in various parts of land as a despised minority. Now notice, this woman was not intimidated by racial divide that separated her from God's chosen people. She took a risk. She overcame the barrier of her race. The third barrier was the barrier of her religion. Now, the Canaanites continued to practice their pagan worship. In fact, there was a temple dedicated to Eshmun, a god of healing, that was located 3 miles northwest of Sidon. It was very close to this place where Jesus was talking to this woman. Now, maybe this woman may have feared retaliation if she saw help outside her ethnic religion. But she took a risk. She was willing to enlist the help of Jewish Messiah, who represented a completely different God. The fourth barrier was her gender. Now, Jews thought that it is inappropriate for man to speak with a woman he did not know in public. And rabbis, they even did not talk to their wives or daughters in public. Jesus was a Jew. And Jesus was considered to be a rabbi. But this woman took a risk. And she came to Jesus to ask for help. Remember, if you are unwilling to take a risk, you can never discover what living by faith is all about. If you are unwilling to take a risk, you can never discover what living by faith is all about. The life of faith is inherently a life of risk. This woman took a risk, and that is why she passed the test of hopeless situation. The second test was the test of first impressions. The test of first impressions. Now, notice again this woman's attitude toward Jesus. In verse 22, she calls Jesus Lord and Son of David. Now, Son of David was the most common messianic title in the usage of Jesus' day. So this woman recognized that Jesus was Jewish Messiah who has the right to reign on the King David's throne. She also calls him Lord. She recognized that Jesus is God. The term Lord that she is using here is the term that was used only of God. They'll also notice that she also appeals to Jesus solely on the basis of mercy. How does she cry out? Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. This woman had correct understanding of Jesus' identity. She knew that he is Jewish Messiah. She knew that he is God. She also had correct understanding of how to seek blessings from God. She appealed solely on the basis of mercy. She understood correctly that every blessing that we receive from God is by grace through faith. She has correct understanding of Jesus' identity. She has correct understanding of how to seek blessings from God. What was Christ's immediate reaction to this woman's request? Now look again at verse 23. Jesus did not answer a word. Jesus did not answer a word. There was absolute silence on his part. He acted as if he had not even heard. Can you imagine the emotions in this woman's heart? See, this raises one important question. What are we to do when God is silent? What are we to do when God is silent? The first thing that we need to do is to remind ourselves of this truth. The silence of God should never be interpreted as indifference. The silence of God should never be interpreted as indifference. You know, Jesus' silence was the silence of love. By it, he wanted to strengthen her faith. Her faith was more important to him than the healing that was going to take place. Jesus is silent because he wanted to give her faith an opportunity for a more glorious expression for all of us to see. And the more glorious expression of her faith can be seen in verses 23 to 26. See, remarkably, the woman was not silent by Jesus' silence. The woman was not silenced by Jesus' silence. She kept crying out all the more. What are we to do when God is silent? This woman tells us that we must to continue worshiping, believing, and asking. Hallelujah. Now, there is one important principle here that Jesus already taught in the situation with John the Baptist. Let's turn together to Matthew chapter 11. Turn to Matthew 11. It's page 1484. Matthew 11, look at verse 6. 1484 in our Pew Bibles. Matthew 11, look at verse 6. Let me give you a background of this verse. Now, John the Baptist was in prison, and he needed reassurance that Jesus truly is the one he anticipated. And he sends his disciple to Jesus to ask him one question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Now, John raises this question because Jesus' manner of ministry was not what he expected to be. You remember John the Baptist, he prophesied that the coming Messiah will do some striking works of judgment. And Jesus was not doing any of this. Jesus was engaged in works of mercy. So John raises his question, okay, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Jesus sends the answer back by quoting some scripture that describes the work of the Messiah. And then this is what he says in verse 6. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Now, what does that mean? Well, the sense of the statement is this. John, you and anyone else like you will be blessed if you do not fall away because of your disappointment with the way I choose to work. John, you and anyone else like you will be blessed if you do not fall away because of your disappointment with the way I choose to work. John the Baptist is in the prison. He's thinking, if I am Messiah's forerunner and Jesus is the Messiah, what am I doing in prison? Jesus reminds us here that true blessedness comes with abiding trust in Lord's leading. True blessedness comes with abiding trust in Lord's leading. And this is what this woman learned. This is what she is demonstrating here for us. You see, Jesus silent did not silence this woman. She kept crying even all the more. And then something else happened. Now look at verse 23. In verse 23, we see that disciples became annoyed with her persistence. Text says, so his disciples came to Jesus and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Now, the apparent insensitivity to suffering on the part of Jesus can be explained by the lesson in faith that follows in the next few verses. The disciples are without excuse. And here is another important lesson from this story. Christ's followers are often less compassionate than Christ. Christ's followers are often less compassionate than Christ. You see, in the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, the disciples' response to the needs of the crowds was to advise Jesus to send the crowd away. Mark 6:36. They said, send the crowd away, let them go to the surrounding area and buy the food for themselves. On some other occasion, they display the same attitude. Hear the words of Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as this. Don't bother the master and don't bother us was too often the disciples' slogan. Today's disciples are sometimes not any different than these first followers. Now listen, if you are seeking help from Jesus, don't be put off by the attitudes of people who claim to know him. If you are looking for Jesus, don't stop until you find him. And when you find him, try your best to be as compassionate and loving as he has been to you. Amen? That's all that we need to do. Try to be compassionate and loving as he was to you. In this life, we have four choices. Four choices. We can focus on ourselves. We can focus on our circumstances. We can focus on other people. Or we can focus on God. This persistent mother focused on God. And that is why she passed the test of first impressions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And her third and final test was the test of perseverance. The test of perseverance. Now in verse 24, Jesus gives a reason for his silence. Now look at verse 24. Jesus answered, he's still not answering to a woman, he's talking to his disciples. He said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now this woman hears Jesus say, that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, she knows she is a Canaanite. We would expect that this woman will walk away in deep disappointment. But this woman persisted, and Jesus desires such persistence. Do you persistently and passionately pray about anything? This is the kind of persistence that Jesus wants us to have. Do you remember what Jesus taught in the parable of the persistent widow? Let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Turn to Luke chapter 18, page 1596. Page chapter 18, and let's see what Jesus is reminding us over there. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to him, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Now, the main point that Jesus is making to this parable is this. If such an unjust man would respond to persistent plea, would not God, who is not only just, but also merciful and loving, do so more readily? That's what Jesus is saying. Persistence. Persistence in prayer. This is what the Lord wants from every follower. This woman fell down on her feet and she cries out, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And at this point, Jesus is teaching us an important lesson about prayer. And the lesson is this. Prayer is not to change God's mind, but to allow us to see God's heart. Prayer is not to change God's mind, but to allow us to see God's heart. We must learn to view prayer from God's perspective. We must stop viewing prayer merely as a means to get our needs met. Prayer, above all else, is communion with God. Prayer is the major way we come to know God and hear His voice. And after this dear woman prayed, "Lord, help me," Jesus answered her for the first time. Now look at verse 26. Jesus replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Jesus' answer comes in the language of a parable. And here he uses the common speech of his people. Dog was a common Jewish term for Gentiles because Gentiles, just like dogs, did not make any distinction between unclean and clean foods. Now, it was not necessarily an offensive term. It was not an offensive term. And we need to keep this in mind when you read this story. Now, in the parallel account in Mark chapter 7, when he talks about this story, he tells us that this woman was a Greek-speaking woman. This woman is a Greek-speaking woman. So when she talked with Jesus here, they didn't talk in Aramaic, they talk in Greek, because she was a Greek-speaking woman. And here Jesus used the word that was not word for wild dogs on the street, but the word which referred to household dogs or pets. So he didn't talk about wild dogs on the street. He talked about household dogs or pets. So Jesus appeals here to family life. That's the purpose of his parable. He appeals to family life. And you know, these house pets would find a nice place under the table and wait for what fell or was slipped to them under the table. This is not an offensive picture here. No, so what is the point that Jesus makes with this parable? What is the point that Jesus here makes with this parable? The point is this. God is a faithful and merciful God. God is a faithful and merciful God. The children of the household indicated the privileged position of Israel. And the house dogs indicated the less privileged position of the Gentiles. No, Jesus reminds this woman that the children's bread is to be used for children and not thrown to the dogs. Dogs must be fed, but not at the expense of children. There are priorities that must be obeyed. Now think about God's plans of salvation. God's plan of salvation. In God's plan of salvation, Israel was chosen to be God's witness nation. And for this reason, God gave them two distinct privileges. Because they were God's chosen nation to be his witness nation, God gave them two distinct privileges. Number one, they were people through whom Christ came. It was the first privilege. He said, Christ will come through your nation. Second privilege, the message and the blessing of the gospel was offered first to them. The message of the gospel and the blessings of the gospel are offered first to them. You remember when Jesus talked with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, in verse 22, he said, salvation is from the Jews. Salvation is from the Jews in the sense that it is available through Jesus who was born as a seed of Abraham. And salvation is from the Jews in the sense that it is from the Jews because salvation's truth came first to them and through them to the world. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and then to the Gentile. So what Jesus is saying here is this. God's plan of salvation shows that God is a faithful and merciful God. God's plan of salvation shows that God is a faithful and a merciful God. You see, prayer is not to change God's mind, but to allow us to see God's heart. That's what prayer is all about. She cried, Lord, help me! I said, okay, I will show you God's heart through this parable. And this woman sensed when Christ was going. She sensed when Christ was going with this parable. She understood his parable. She understood that God is a faithful and merciful God. So she turns the very words of seeming reproach into a reason for optimism. She says, Jesus told her, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she answered. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So what she was saying in essence is this. Okay, Jesus, I understand that I am being compared with a house dog. I accept what is implied in this comparison. I not only accept it, I rejoice because of it. For certainly good masters do not allow their pet dogs to starve to death. They permit them to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And then verse 28 reveals what Jesus said back to her. He said, then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Jesus was delighted by the faith of this woman. You know, his words had been meant to challenge her to greater faith. And she responded. She responded. What is great faith? Great faith is a faith that believes that God is a faithful and merciful God. That's what the story of this woman teaches us. Great faith is a faith that believes that God is a faithful and merciful God. Now, verse 28 reveals another important lesson. Humility coupled with faith is pleasing to God and invokes his favor. Humility coupled with faith is pleasing to God and invokes his favor. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, we read, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Hallelujah. God has two primary means for faith building. The Bible and tests. The Bible tells us what to believe about God, and the tests place us in situations that stretch us to believe and rely on God instead of our own understanding. The Canaanite woman took a risk, and that is why she passed the test of hopeless situation. The Canaanite woman focused on God, and that is why she passed the test of first impressions. The Canaanite woman humbled herself, and that is why she passed the test of perseverance. Let us remember this story when we pray for ourselves. And let us remember this story when we intercede for others. Jesus stands ready to help the desperate and the persistent. Amen.